If you love the Lord this morning, I want you to just wave your hands before Him and praise His name. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you this morning. We thank you for your everlasting kindness. The everlasting kindness and the sure mercies of God. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise Him. You may be seated. Thank you. I think the Lord, and I think if I scored a touchdown or something, I can get a better hand clap than that, than we gave to the Lord.
Come on, somebody. Give the Lord a hand clap.
Yeah, this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, a couple of weeks or so ago, I preached on this message, the everlasting kindness and the sure mercies of David, and I said I was going to sometime preach part two. And I'm going to do that this morning, and I want you to listen real close. It won't take very long by the grace of God. But today I'm going to talk about the sure mercies of David from the fathers to the children. That's what I'm going to be talking about today. Now, I touched on this last time just briefly, but because of time, I left that part off. And I'm going to go into that. You might want to also listen to the message on our website called Generational Blessings. You might want to listen to that. That may tie into this message. But hold on to your seats and let's go. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. All right, we're going to start here in the book of Acts chapter 13. Now, I love the way that the apostles used to preach to the Jews. They would tell them a story that resonates with them. They tell them the story of Abraham, the story of David, and so on and so forth, and then bring it down to Christ. And so Paul is in this chapter here doing the same thing. And he's telling them the story, and he's showing how that Christ would come through the lineage of David. So I pick up this story in Acts chapter 13 and verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham. I like how he appeals to them. You know, men and brethren. Now let me appeal to those of you who are sitting here today also. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham. Amen. That's right, because they are not all Jews that are Jews. And just because they are born of the flesh doesn't make them Jews. Hallelujah. But in thy seed, hallelujah, is the promise given. So we are here by faith, children of Abraham. Now, whosoever among you feareth God, to you is this word of grace brought today. Amen. Amen. Now, you pay attention, and the Lord's going to bless our hearts. So that's how he starts the message. So he told them all about it and so forth. You know, they that dwelt in Jerusalem and their rulers, they did everything, you know, to him because they didn't know the voice of the prophets and the voice of the Lord and so forth. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet they desired that Pilate should kill him. And after they have done to him everything that was listed in the scriptures, they took him down from the cross and laid him in his sepulchre. Now, verse 30. But God raised him from the dead. How many of you can say amen to that? Well, you ought to shout victory, because if Christ was still dead, your faith is in vain. God raised him from the dead. And he was seen by many days for all the, you know, witnesses and so forth like that, you know. And verse 32 is where I'm going. And we declare unto you glad tidings. Amen? I declare unto you glad tidings today that the promise which was made to the fathers, hallelujah, God is fulfilling the same unto us, the children. Hallelujah. And that's the message today. The sure mercies of David, part two. The fathers, from the fathers to the children. That's what we're going to be talking about today. Amen. Now, God promised certain things to David. And I didn't have time to read it all last time. I'm going to read some of it today. And then I'm going to show you how God watched over that promise to make sure it will be fulfilled. And then we are going to bring the application down to our present day and our lives. Praise the Lord. Now, before I read the promise that God gave to David. Let me also read another story here in the Bible, in Acts chapter 15. You know, I love the way that these apostles, the early apostles, used to bring the word of God and so forth. Now, you know, this time, we see that when they wrote to the disciples at Jerusalem and so forth, and, you know, James would stand up and he would preach and he would say some things to them. And this is the preaching that James this time brought. I want to just read a few verses from Acts chapter 15, verses 16 to 18. This is James quoting from Amos chapter 9.
After this, I will return and I will build again the tabernacle of David, which is falling down. And I will build it again, even the ruins thereof. And I will set it up, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Why? That the residue of men might seek after the Lord. And all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Even before the world began, he already knew everything that he's going to do. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, in this verse, he's talking about the tabernacle of David. We're going to tie that to the sure mercies of David. But you can go back and read Amos chapter 9, verses 11 and 12, and see that's where he was quoting from. But the Holy Spirit expanded upon it. I like this one better than the one that was in Amos, because he brought it in a different light and brought it down to the Gentiles. Hallelujah. Was it just for the Jews? The tabernacle of David is not just for the Jews. He said that the residue of men might seek the Lord and all the Gentiles. So he brought it in right there. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, so we're going to bring the show mercies of David and the tabernacle of David and talk about how God said, I will raise up the ruins thereof. Now, God made a promise, you know, to the house of David. You might also call it tabernacle of David. That's the house of David, you know. But at some point in time, you know, that promise seemed as if it was dying. The house was laid waste and so on and so forth. But God said, I will raise it up and I will build it again. Now, on our website, gmichurch.org, the Lord gave also a promise when we started this ministry. And the promise is this very thing we read here. That I will raise up the tabernacle of David again and I will build the ruins thereof. And the Lord put his name right upon it and said, I am the Lord. When he says that, when he says something, you know, you can count on it. Amen. Now, I'm going to go quickly and read the promise that God gave unto David. Now, David, you may know his story. I love to preach from the story of David, one of my favorite characters in that Bible. And at one time, you know, after the Lord had given him rest on every side and so forth, the book of 2 Samuel chapter 7, David wanted so badly to build a house for the name of the Lord. Because prior to that, they were, you know, carrying the ark and tents and so on and so forth. You know, so he desired to do that. So turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 7. And when he wanted to do that, the Lord saw his heart. You know, that he wanted to do a good thing. You know, it was a good thing he wanted to do and so forth. But the Lord said to Nathan the prophet, you go and tell to my servant David thus and thus. I've seen his heart. I know he wants to build a house for me and so forth. But I've got a different plan. So God sends Nathan to David to tell him this thing. So David hears from the mouth of the prophet that the Lord said, you're not going to build the house, but your son will build the house later. But there is something that he told him here, beyond all that, that I want to bring up. And I'm going to read it from verse 12 of 2 Samuel chapter 7, if you will turn with me. And when thy days be fulfilled, now this is God talking to David. When thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. Praise the Lord. Now, that's the sure mercies of David. God put it right blank, point blank there. It's not because of anything that Solomon did, and Solomon hasn't even come upon the scene. You know, God is talking to David. And he's saying, I will establish your seed. I mean, it's not exactly David that he's establishing, but David's going to die in a few years.
And the Lord said, well, when you die, you know, I'm going to establish your seed. And the whole lineage will continue. Hallelujah. And God made sure it will continue because even the very Christ would eventually come from that line. And not only come from that line, he will sit on the throne of David. As it is written, I am the root and the offspring of David. Root because he was before him, and offspring because he came back again after David through that same lineage. So this is what he promised. He said, I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And I will be his father. And now this is a promise that is given to David. Solomon wasn't even there. But this is what we are talking about, from the fathers to the children. God said to David, I will be his father. Talking about even the son that will come. And he shall be my son. And if he commits iniquity, look at the everlasting kindness of God. God already made provision because he knew how Solomon's going to mess up later on in his life. You know, and so on. They said, look, even if he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But there is a difference. But my mercy, hallelujah, shall not depart away from him. Even as I took it from Saul, I'm not going to take it away. I will never take it away. He said, I took Saul away, whom I put up before thee, and so forth. But thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Even the throne shall be established forever. How many of you can say amen to that? Now, you all may know the story of Saul, but I don't have time to preach about that today. When the people of Israel wanted a king, well, God gave them Israel. Wasn't exactly what he chose, but he gave it. He gave them Saul, I mean, you know, and so forth like that. You know, but after a while, Saul disobeyed the voice of the Lord. He didn't exactly follow in his ways, and he did not sanctify the Lord in his heart and keep all of his commandments. So God rejected him. And when God rejected him, he said, I have found a man after my own heart. Amen. And he found David and so forth like that. You know, so now he said, look, I rejected. Saul disobeyed the Lord, but the Lord rejected him. David, he committed all horrible things. Adultery and murder and so forth in the case of Uriah and, you know, Bathsheba. You heard that story last time. You know, so. But the Lord, because of his mercy. Amen. Not that we condone sin and so forth, but we preached on that last time. The book of Romans says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. And the Lord chose that David would be a channel of mercy. And through the lineage of David will come the root of David and his offspring later on, known as the branch of righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the reason why we are all sitting here today. But there is something that we want to bring out in this message. Now that's just a preamble telling you the background for, you know, going into this second part of the message. Now, there are some things that I want to bring out in the rest, in the later part of this chapter, 2 Samuel verse, chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7, I'll bring out something from verses about 25. Now, after that, God made the promise to David. David will now turn around and challenge God with the same words that God already spoke. Now, there's a lesson for that for us in that today. You know, when God promised something, take it to the Lord in prayer and repeat his word to him of what he already said. Hallelujah. Now, David praying after God gave him this tremendous promise, and David was so overwhelmed and said, who am I, Lord? And what is thy servant that you should, you know, not only establish my house but declare of my kingdom for generations to come? Who am I? And he prayed this prayer in verse 25 and said, and now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish thou it forever and do as thou hast said. Now that's the part that most people miss. After they see the wonderful promises of God and so forth like that, whether written in his word or personalized to you and so forth, you know, people don't act upon it. They don't hold God to it. You know, and they just think that, you know, what will be, will be. No. it's not going to be if the devil has something to say about it. You know, you're going to have to contend for the promises of God. Amen. Now, and the Lord put on David this spirit to pray. And he began to say, and let thy name be magnified forever. Hallelujah. And he said, the Lord of hosts is the God over Israel. And let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. Now, God already said that. You may think it's redundant. God already said, but no, he has to pray. You know, you've got to pray through on what God has already said. You've got to keep praying through on it. Now, and he said, look, for thou, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, you know, you have revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore has thy servant found it in his heart to make this prayer unto thee. See, based on what God already said. So David is going to clue in unto the promise that God already gave. And now, O Lord God, thou art God. Let thy words be true. Amen? Which you have spoken. That's right. And that which you have promised, you know, this goodliness unto thy servant which you have promised, let it come to pass. Now therefore, O Lord, let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant. Hallelujah. That's right. There's nothing wrong with that. Let it please the Lord to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it. And with thy blessing, let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. Amen. Now, it is the same thing, and you know, Solomon himself also learned how to pray like that. You know, I believe that David might have taught him some things. He learned how to pray, and he said, look, you know, one time he prayed when they were establishing, you know, the temple and so forth. And he said, look, that which the Lord has spoken with his mouth, let it be fulfilled this day with your hand. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So what God has promised to the fathers, and we're going to look at some of those promises real quick, we need to claim them for ourselves today. Amen. Amen. Praise be the name of the Lord. Now, so that's the context of today's message. Hallelujah. Now remember, this message was passed down, this blessing was passed down from generation to generation. Now we heard, you know, people talk about, you know, the fathers will eat, you know, sour grapes, and the children's teeth will be set on edge. Well, that's for people who are outside the lineage of the blood of Christ. Amen. Amen, folks. That's right. When you are in Christ, the generational blessings that God gave you will come upon your children. If you believe that, you can say amen. Amen. And the children themselves, once they connect with the Lord, it will be compounded. The blessings will be doubled because the children have also connected to the Lord. But just because they are the children of the righteous, they will be delivered. Because they are the children of the righteous, they will be blessed. Hallelujah. And then if they continue in righteousness, then the blessing will continue. Praise you in the name of the Lord. Listen to that message, generational blessings, on our website. You'll get more about that. Now, let's quickly look at some other examples of how God gave promise to the fathers that were later fulfilled in the children. And that's the way throughout the scriptures. I don't have time to read. I wrote down some examples, but I may not have time to read all of them. But that's the way throughout the scriptures how God did these things. Always, even the promise from the beginning in Genesis 3 and 15, we were not there when he promised the seed of the woman. You know, we were not there. It was Adam and Eve that was there, but God gave that promise and we are enjoying it today. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's the way that God always works. Now let's look at the story of Abraham, who is also, you know, in that lineage and many generations before David. In the book of Genesis chapter 12. Now there are many things that God promised to Abraham, but we are going to just read through a few quickly to highlight a point. Let's start at Genesis chapter 12 and verse 7. You are going to move very quickly with me here. And the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, unto thy seed. Now, not only to Abraham who was promise giving, but unto thy seed. Now, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there Abraham builded an altar to the Lord. Now, so we see that Abraham received a promise that God was even going to give him a seed, even when he didn't even have a child. You know, going to give his seed the land, I mean, even when Abraham himself didn't have a son. So we see a promise to the father that will be later fulfilled in the children. Now, Genesis chapter 13. I pick it up at verse 14.
And the Lord said to Abraham,
after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look upon the place where thou art. Northward, eastward, southward, westward, everywhere. Just look everywhere. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. How many of you can say amen? Now that you can begin to see how God is walking that promise from the fathers to the children. Now,
and I will make thy seed.
Now this promise was not given to his seed, but it was given about his seed. But it was given to the father, and God will fulfill it in the seed. Now, I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth.
Amen?
That's right. And if you can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. But if you can't do it, then your seed will be numberless. That's what God is telling you. So he said, look, walk through the land, the length and breadth of it and so forth. For wherever you put your foot on, you say, I have given it unto thee. Amen. So that promise was given to Abraham about his seed and all the things that will happen much later on. And you know, we see that the promise was not even fulfilled, really, in the time of Abraham, but it was fulfilled later on. Now, in the book of Genesis chapter 17 and verse 7, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee. This is God speaking to Abraham again. And thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger right now, the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. Amen. Amen, folks. Well, you know, I don't care whatever the devil's doing in that area there and so forth. That land belongs to Israel. Amen. Amen. And God said unto Abraham, that's right, thou shalt keep my covenant, thou, therefore, and thy seed after thee in all their generations. You know, they must keep that covenant in order for that promise that was passed down to continue to take effect throughout their lifetime. Now, let's quickly read verse 19. God also said that, you know, when your wife Sarah shall bear a son and so forth, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and his seed after him. You see how he gave it to Abraham, then he gave it concerning Isaac and began to pass it down through the seed after him. Now, Genesis chapter 35 and verse 12. Genesis 35 and verse 12. And the land which I gave to Abraham and Isaac. Now, he's moved from Abraham, he's moved to Isaac, now he's talking to Jacob. Begin to pass it down. The land which I gave to Abraham and to Isaac, to thee will I also give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. So God begins, continues the promise. The promise that he gave to the fathers, he continues to fulfill it in the children, and he continues to pass it down. Praise you in the name of the Lord. Now, how do we bring all of this to our present day and apply some of these things in our lives? Now, every promise that God has promised in that Bible, if it has not yet been fulfilled, the people to whom he promised it may have done, but it will be fulfilled. Amen. That's right. Every promise will be fulfilled. May have been promised to the fathers, but it will be fulfilled in us, the children. Hallelujah. And I am so comforted by that understanding, you know, that it will be fulfilled to us, unto us, the children. Now, you have to go back to our text at the beginning, in Acts chapter 13, where Paul was preaching and said, that which he promised to the fathers is now fulfilled unto us, the children, in that he raised up Christ from the dead and said unto him, I will give you the sure mercies of heaven. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And not only give him the sure mercies. What does it mean, the sure mercies of David? Well, remember that he said, I will establish the house of David forever. And the tabernacle of David, which is also called the house of David, at one time became destroyed because of iniquity. But God, remembering his promise, he said, later on, I will raise it up again. Amen. And I will reestablish it, and I will rebuild the ruins there. And I will start, because he will never forget his promise. Praise you in the name of the Lord. There are some promises that were promised to the fathers that we see that were already fulfilled, and it still continues to be fulfilled. I'll just give one or two for the sake of time. In the book of Joel, chapter 2, we see that there was a promise given to the fathers in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. The promise was given then, back in those days. And he said, in the latter times, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. You know, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and all these things. Gave a wonderful promise way back then in the days of Joel. And on the day of Pentecost, we see that that promise began to be fulfilled, because Peter rising up and saying, these men that you see are not drunken as you suppose, but this is that which was promised by the prophet Joel. That promise given to Joel is now being fulfilled unto the children. Amen. And he said unto them, finally, he said, look, you know, you have to read all of it in Acts chapter 2. Read verses 1 to 4 and see the fulfillment of it. And then see where, Peter begin to quote the promises that were given to Joel. And he's claiming that, you know, this promise that was given to Joel way long ago. You see, from verse 16, he said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my servants and my handmaidens in those days will I pour out of my spirit, saith the Lord. Now, that promise was given way long before then. But we see its fulfillment since the day of Pentecost until today is still being fulfilled. Hallelujah. We are still receiving the promise of the Father today. Why? Because Peter said in verse 39 of the same chapter, for this promise is unto you and to your children. See how God passes it down? It's unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? Now, let me bring some notable promises in that scripture that are yet to be fulfilled. Promise in the days of the fathers, but to be fulfilled unto us the children. Hallelujah. But just like David, we must stand in the promise and in the word of God and begin to remind him every day of what he has promised. Now, let's look at Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, when Jesus spoke to them about the coming of the promise of the Father, in verse 9, we are told, he said, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, wondering what had happened, behold, two men, those were two angels, they stood in right there, they just appeared in white apparel. Which also said unto them, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into heaven? Now, remember, these people were standing right there. This was a promise made to those people. This same Jesus, which is taken up, which you see right now into heaven, shall so come in like manner, even as you have seen him go into heaven. Amen. That's a promise that was made to the fathers that will be fulfilled unto us, the children. Hallelujah. I don't see anybody excited about the coming of the Lord. This same Jesus that you see taken up to heaven shall so come in like manner, even as you have seen him go into heaven. If somebody believes that, you can shout hallelujah. That's a promise that was given to the fathers will be fulfilled unto us, the children. In the book of Matthew, chapter 16 and verse 28. And also Mark 9, verse 1, and Luke 9, verse 27. People have talked about these verses for so long, and there have been so many kinds of ways that people have said it. But here's what it says. Jesus said, there be some, you know, that stand here, that shall not taste of death until they see the kingdom of God coming in his power. And there'll be some that said, Matthew said it a little differently. He said the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. The other two people said the city kingdom of God coming in his power. And people have explained this every which way. They've tried to claim that, it was this, it was that, and so forth. But let me tell you something. That's a promise that was made to the fathers, which will be fulfilled unto us, the children. I believe with all my heart that in this generation, there will be some, and I pray that every one of us here, when the trumpet sounds, will be among the number that will go in that translation. I believe that some will not see death, but they will go in that translation. How many of you can say praise the Lord to that? Some people don't want to go. They want to stay. You can have all the things that remain, after we are gone. But that's not going to be your portion. Amen. Amen. There are better things in heaven. Praise the Lord. Behold, I go to prepare a place for you. And when I am gone, when it's ready, I will come for you. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. And I am going to prepare a place for you. There's a special promise that he gave. And he gave another promise in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And verses 51 and 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet will sound. Amen. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. How many of you say praise the Lord to that? Well, that promise was given way back then, and Paul, in his generation, he thought it would happen in his generation. And he always said, and those of us that are alive and remain shall not prevent them that are falling asleep. Well, it didn't happen then. But we are trusting the Lord that that promise that was given to the fathers will be fulfilled unto us, the children. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And in the book of Hebrews 11, we are told that many of them died in faith, not having received the promise, but they kept believing. And that promise that they did not receive, God has reserved it unto us, the children. How many of you say amen to that? Now, the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verses 16 and 17. It's going to talk about this translation that we have been talking about. And that's a promise that was given a long time ago, which we believe by the grace of God will be fulfilled in our generation. Now, next time we're going to preach on how the bride will make herself ready. But people today, they don't seem to care about these things, People are more concerned about, how, pay their bills and so on and so forth. But all of those things are wonderful things. You got to pay your bills. But I tell you, all those things will pass away. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. They will pass away. But there is something, there is a hope of eternal life, a crown incorruptible. That's the reason why we're here. And we're waiting for the coming of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 16 and 17. And the Lord will promise that he himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Amen. Amen. And we which are alive and remain. So that promise was given way then, and Paul thought it would take place in his time, but it didn't. But we must press into that promise today. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 7. And we're about to bring this to a wrap. Daniel chapter 7. But before I read Daniel chapter 7, let me read Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. There was a prophecy that Daniel was interpreting, the image of Nebuchadnezzar and so forth. And he interpreted it way down through the end of time. And finally in verse 44 of Daniel 2, he said, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Hallelujah. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and stamp the residue down. Hallelujah. Amen. It shall break down these kingdoms. And this kingdom that the Lord shall establish shall stand forever. Hallelujah. It is the sure mercies of David. He will establish it and he's bringing. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians that he, in the dispensation or the fullness of times, he might gather together in Christ all things. Hallelujah. He's going to bring them in. And he has a way that he's going to do it. Are you going to be part of that gathering? It is happening now. It's happening right now, folks. Daniel chapter 7, verse 14. Daniel 7 and verse 14.
And there was given unto him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people and nations and languages should serve him.
He's talking about the Christ.
And his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Amen.
Verse 27.
And that kingdom.
See, Christ is not just going to enjoy by himself alone. You know, he wants the people to enjoy with him. His people. He made this prayer in John 17. The glory which I had with thee from the beginning, I pray that you will bring them in so that they can share my glory. Hallelujah. That's his prayer. That has always been his hope. That there be one shepherd and one fold. Bring them in, Lord. He said that they may see the glory. Share my glory. And he said, he that overcometh, you know, will sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and I'm set with my Father in his throne. This has always been his, you know, his promise unto us and his desire for us. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness. I'm reading verse 27 of Daniel 7.
The kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given. Now he's talking about the kingdom of Christ, first of all, in verse 14. But he's now talking about him giving into the hands of the saints. Now, the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. How many of you can say amen?
Amen.
And that kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey the Lord. And we shall sit and reign with him with the rod of iron. Amen. Hallelujah. Folks, this is exciting news, because we are at the water's edge, and you're going to be hearing more about it. We're getting ready for this great thing that we will promise, that have been given to the fathers over the generations, now about to be fulfilled in our lives. Now, God also promised some things for you as a righteous person. If you are righteous here today, you have given your life to the Lord, and you know the Lord, and you walk in his ways, as we were discussing this morning, the rewards of righteousness. Well, we know that God doesn't have any grandchildren. Everybody must make their relationship with God. But by virtue of his everlasting kindness, there are some things that will pass down to your children. Now, it is up to them to maintain, but it's going to naturally. The Bible says, if you are righteous, your children might be unrighteous, or because you are holy, you know, God is going to bring them in. He has a way to do it. But they themselves must connect with the Lord directly. But God has a promise. Now let's look at some promises quickly that God is giving concerning your children, so that you may be at peace. Amen. Some parents sometimes are worried, you know, worries, they're just sick about their parents, their children and so forth, you know. But remember, these are the children of the Lord himself. Children are the heritage of the Lord. Hallelujah. And he's made you only guardians, so to speak. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now listen to this in the book of Proverbs. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 20 and verse 7. The just man walketh in his integrity.
Well,
because he walks in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. Amen, folks. Walk in integrity of your heart, and your children shall be blessed after you. Amen.
I've got many other promises, but I'm going to skip them, and I'm kind of time, looking at my time right here. But let me read just one more here. You know, how God, you know, makes sure that these promises that he gave to the fathers continue in the children. And it is left for the children themselves to maintain.
Amen.
Praise you, the name of the Lord. Psalm 115 and verse 14.
The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children.
Can you say amen to that? The promise is not only unto you, but the promise is unto you and to your children. And to as many as are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Even the promises that are made sometimes to the fathers, it may take the generation of the children for them to be fulfilled. Hallelujah. Jesus one time said, before Abraham was, I am. And they said, well, you're not even yet 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham? Amen. Because he told them that Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he was glad when he saw it. And when he told them, they couldn't understand it. But he also proceeded to tell them that, look, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see them. Hallelujah. Now, there may be some people standing here, he said, that will see the kingdom of God in power. That promise was given away then. It may not have been fulfilled in many, throughout many generations and so forth. Well, there was various fulfillments at various times, the Pentecost and various things and so on. But the final fulfillment of it will be unto us, the children, in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, for all the promises of God together that he has given, remember one thing, the sure mercies of David, God will watch over that promise. And when it seems like that promise is dying away, he said, I will rebuild the tabernacle of David. I will raise up the ruins thereof. God will watch over it. He will make sure it doesn't die away. And he said, look, even if he commits sin, talking about the child that will, you know, inherit that promise, which was Solomon, I will chastise him, but I will never take my promise away from him. I will never take the covenant of my peace away from him. If you love the Lord, let's give him a hand clap here this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you love the Lord, the promises that God gave unto the fathers will be fulfilled in us, the children. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. Hallelujah. And I'm going to pray. And I'm going to invoke the promise of God. Just like David, after God promised this great thing to David, David could have just gone and began to celebrate, drink wine and do all kinds of things. He didn't do that. He fell upon his face. And he said, Lord God Almighty, let now thy words be true which you have spoken. And that which you have spoken with your mouth, perform it this day in the life of your servant and his seed forever, even as you have spoken it. How many of you say amen to that?
Amen.
Now I'm going to challenge every one of us that is here today. There are promises in this Bible. I only read a few concerning the coming of the Lord because I want to focus on that next time. You know, but there are many other personalized promises in this Bible that God has promised, which may not seem to have been fulfilled. Even though he promised it then, the word of God is eternal. Amen. What he promised then, even whether it was fulfilled then or not, it will be fulfilled in us, the children. So we must stand our ground and we must pray. Lift up your hands here this morning. And let's begin to pray. And the Holy Spirit is going to bring to your remembrance now. God is going to bring to your remembrance some of these promises that may have been promised a long time ago in the scriptures. And you are going to stand in that promise. You are going to reap that promise that was promised years ago, generations ago. We are the ones that are going to reap this promise. Now this message is a lot deeper than this, but I can't go into it today. And by the grace of God, maybe we'll go into it next time. But I cannot go into it. But there are certain things that God has promised. And all throughout the generations, it looks as if it was never fulfilled and will not be fulfilled. But it will be fulfilled in us, the children. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. For that message that Paul preached in Acts 13 was prophetic. Hallelujah. Father, as we lift up our hands before you, we thank you for great has been all your promises that you have promised us. In fact, the Bible says that through these promises, we can enter into the divine nature. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for the promise that the same Jesus that went up into heaven will come back again the same way. And for thousands of years, that promise has been given. But since the fathers fell asleep, it seemed as if that promise will not come to pass. But that promise will now be fulfilled in us, the children. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the promise that you have given us in the Bible, that we've seen that has been fulfilled from time to time, that in the latter days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. From the days of the day of Pentecost until now, we see its fulfillment over and over and over again. And we stand in this promise today that for all our children, hallelujah, because he said this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall come. We stand in this promise today, Lord, that that which you spoke by the mouth of your prophets many generations ago, let them now be, let those words be true, and let them now be fulfilled in our lives, those of us who are now the children of the promises, in the name of Jesus. And if you are a child of the promise, you are a child by faith of Abraham, you are the stock of Abraham, because you are a child of the promise. You are not a child of the bondwoman, but you are a child of the promise. Hallelujah. And the promise which God promised to Abraham, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee. And when he couldn't find anybody greater, because men usually swear by somebody greater than themselves, and God wishing also to find somebody greater to swear by, he looked up and down, see whether he can find somebody that he can swear by, and he could find nobody. Therefore, he swore by himself. Hallelujah. And he said, surely, blessing, I will bless you. God has laid the blessing smack down on your life, folks. He has laid it down there. All the promises that God gave right from Genesis until whatever was not fulfilled, we are now standing in those promises to reap them. Hallelujah. For we are children of the promise. Now, for every parent that is here, I want you, if you are a godly parent, well, you can only claim this. I mean, this message is for those. Now, if you don't understand all of these things, and so perhaps you have not entered into this walk of faith and grace and righteousness with God, well, see us after service and we'll explain all to you. But we don't have time for that. But I want to give you an opportunity today. All you have to do is change your life. God will change your story. Amen. That's right. You know, you must repent. You must have a turnaround. There is no regeneration. I mean, there is no salvation without regeneration. There is no salvation without conversion. You know, it's not just about signing some name on some register and so on. No. You must repent. Repent ye and be converted. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send that precious gifts of the Holy Spirit that we've been praying for. Now, if you are a godly father here today, I want you to stand in the gap. And if you're not, and you say, Lord, how can I be? Well, the grace and the mercy of God has been given to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live in this world soberly, righteously, and holy lives, and expecting the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. This grace is here today. Just lift up your heart to him and say, Lord, teach me. Lord, I receive into your kingdom. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and I believe that God raised him from the dead, and I confess him as my Lord and Savior. The Bible says, you shall be saved. Amen. Now, stand in the gap for your children, parents, today, and say, Lord, all the things that you have promised me in my life, I may not, you know, achieve them all in my lifetime, but they shall come upon my children if the Lord should tarry. But the greatest promise I want for my children is that, well, hopefully the Lord doesn't tarry, but together we'll all go in the translation. Amen. I don't want any of my children left behind to inherit anything. I want them to go with us to inherit eternal life and be the first fruits. Hallelujah. There are going to be many fruits, but I want you to be the first fruits. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all these things. We give you all the praise and give you all the glory. Now, Lord Jesus, we thank you for that promise. We are looking, Lord, for that great promise, wherein you said that the heavens shall open and the Lord will come with the trump of the archangel and with the voice of God. Hallelujah. And Lord, when that trumpet sounds, we pray that we all will be among the number that we hear that voice that says, come up hither and enter into the joy of the Lord. We give you, Lord, all the praise and all the glory. And for all the promises of God for the righteous, that your children shall be established, they shall be increasing more and more, that the seed of the righteous shall be delivered, and it shall be well with your children because you are walking in your integrity. For all these promises, stand and claim them for your children in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody says, amen.
Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.